started in Kuwait, didn't it?
Kuwait and Iraq. We were at the town clock in Santa Cruz for several months, and basically because of a court order, before any convictions on any of the tickets and the harassment from the police, the court has ordered people off the clock. And we're in the process of fighting the tickets and the
police. A court order from whom?
From Judge Kelly. This is Wanton. The site of the peace vigil. And what's happening there is that...
Is this a pre-conviction order, you say?
Yes, it's a condition...
of being released on your own recognizance?
Right.
So he says stay in jail, or if you don't want to stay in jail, stay away from the town clock?
That's right.
Okay, that's not unusual.
Actually, I think it is kind of unusual to have
they do it all the time.
Ordered away from an area on a nonviolent charge, pending a nonviolent charge.
They do it all the time with if you are accused of stealing something from a particular place, as a condition of releasing you, don't let you go back to that place.
But I'm charged with a non-victim crime, and I've been involved in political action on both coasts. And
why don't you just say, okay, I'll stay in jail?
Well, because then I would be unable to prepare the defense of myself in the peace vigil. See, the government of Santa Cruz, the city of Santa Cruz, took almost from the start of the peace vigil and the bombing of Iraq and Kuwait, took an anti-First Amendment right stand towards the people of the peace vigil because the city perceived them as being homeless and powerless people. And so the city sent police and rangers to abuse people and drive them away and deprive them of their First Amendment and constitutional rights.
I think they'd say that what they wanted to do was to make sure that people didn't sleep at the town clock.
Well, they have their camping law, their sleeping laws in Santa Cruz, that's true. However, it has been proven in United States Supreme Court that when doing a First Amendment activity, regulations preventing sleeping do not apply towards sleeping at a peace vigil. I can show you, we can go down to the law library and I can show you three different Supreme Court decisions saying that at a peace vigil, sleeping cannot be regulated by the government.
It depends on where you sleep, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, sure it does. You can't opt to sleep in the middle of a public street that you've got a First Amendment right to do so.
If the peace vigil was in the middle of the street, which it was not, it was in a public assembly area.
Well, even if it were in the middle of the street.
In the middle of the street, the only way it could be in the middle of the street is if there was a large enough number of Americans in assembly in the middle of that street, and by the sheer numbers of Americans, that street had been turned into a First Amendment rights area. Then you would be, and a peace vigil, then you would be allowed to sleep there according to these court rulings. You see, the question is, Americans in assembly?
The question is, can you regulate the manner in which people protest? And the answer to that question is yes. That is to say, you cannot sleep any place you opt to sleep. You can't sleep in my house, you can't sleep on major streets and the rest of it.
Well,
it's simply not allowed. That's not to say that you don't have the right to protest. You simply can't protest in such a manner as to interfere with other people's rights.
There is a balance of rights and a balanced position is the way the courts look at it. They look at...
That's right. And the balance is that you don't sleep in the middle of the streets.
Well...
There are plenty of other places that you can demonstrate and that your point will come across from rather than sleeping in the middle of the street.
I want to emphasize that no time did we ever try to sleep in the middle of the street. We're speaking about a very hyper-theoretical question here, and I'd like to finish the discussion on this hyper-theoretical question with a statement that if there were 1,000 Americans taking over a street for a peace vigil, a First Amendment rights activity, the Supreme Court, by prior precedent, would rule that that was a valid place to sleep because the Americans are there, standing there, sitting there, exercising the right of assembly in free speech.
A right to assemble doesn't mean the right to sleep.
It does, too. The Supreme Court has said the right of assembly is the right to sleep, and that has been adjudicated as recently as in Texas 2 years ago.
And they've gone so far as to say that you can be excluded from certain areas, including parks.
Well, in Texas, in federal court, and in appellate federal district court in Lufkin, Texas, and it was appealed to the circuit appellate court in New Orleans 2 years ago. Over a national rainbow gathering in the national forest there, and the federal courts ruled there that the Park Service, or rather the Forest Service, could not prevent the Americans from assembling at the forest and sleeping and eating and doing
forever
everything normal
for as long as they felt like.
For the duration of the gathering was approximately 1.5 months.
Well, I suppose they were protesting the 100 years war. Could they stay there for 100 years?
They were protesting absolutely nothing at the gathering. It was assembly. It was not protest. The peace vigil was not protest.
Well, you have to assemble for and petition your government regarding some grievances in order for this to be covered by the First Amendment.
No.
You don't assemble for a rock concert and say that you have a First Amendment right to assemble forever, wherever you want.
Whenever there is a rainbow gathering, people are assembling for the purposes of praying for peace and because they are praying for peace, it's a spiritual healing peace gathering.
But in any event, we started this out by saying
both in speech and religion, and that is the grounds for their assembly. And the federal courts, I mean, I'm not making this up. I have been in the federal courts myself, and the federal courts rule in favor of the First Amendment.
No, that's, do they now?
you might think it's funny because in Santa Cruz, the local courts don't.
Well, it depends on your point of view. If you're going to be a camper at the town clock, there is a question of fact about whether or not you are a camper or whether you are a demonstrator. And if people decide that you are a demonstrator, then your First Amendment rights may apply. If they decide you're a camper, they may not apply.
Well, people,
but that's not an open and shut case. Merely you're stating you are something doesn't make it so.
Well, we approached city council. We did inform people in the city of what we were doing. It was no secret what we were doing, except you have people like the Santa Cruz Sentinel, the Register Pajaronian, and Mercury News printing things just denying the fact that we are a peace vigil and focusing more that they thought it was a homeless encampment. And because they focused that it was a homeless encampment, whatever form of force they used against us was apparently seen in the public eye as being okay.
Well, would you accept that if it is a homeless encampment, that it's improper?
Well, it wasn't a homeless camp.
No, if it were.
A homeless encampment, and if
it were.
Well, that would be depending upon why the homeless people were there.
If it's simply a place,
merely for a place to hang out and to sleep, then according to this law they have, was frankly, I think, is unconstitutional and will no doubt be proven so in court very shortly.
You mean that you believe that people ought to be able to camp wherever they want, whenever they want?
I think that the law...
Is there some constitutional provision that says that?
There are laws in place such as trespassing, obstruction of sidewalk. They have enough ordinances to deal with the problems that they were trying to address at the town clock.
Oh, that's a different question. That's a different question. That's a question about whether there ought to be such a law. The question I asked, whether there's some constitutional right to camp wherever you want, whenever you want. That's a different question.
My answer is that the law is overly broad and vague, and that the law makes it absolutely illegal for you to sleep anywhere in the city of Santa Cruz except in a residential house, the backyard of a residential house, or a side yard if the side yard.
Yeah, in other words, don't sleep in the street.
Or in a motel. Well, what about you? What about if you were working in your office here late at night and you fell asleep at your desk?
Okay.
You would be in violation of that law.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would, too, because office is not a residence, and if you read the law, it it says any residence.
Well, okay, but we're not talking about people falling asleep in offices, are we? Wontana, we're not talking about people falling asleep in offices. We're talking about people who choose to sleep in the street or in a camper.
We're talking about people that have no place to live, sleeping in parks, sleeping in places where they're out of the away and police go looking for them to give them tickets. We're talking about poor people who have no home, no ability to pay for a place to sleep, being given tickets and being put in jail because they have the need to sleep. And any law that says you can only sleep in a place as a residence or in the backyard of a residence is unconstitutionally broad and vague, because it not only penalizes poor people
now,
for not being able to afford to pay.
That's legal babble.
But it is not legal.
It's legal
babble.
Don't talk about overbroad and vague.
Overbroad and vague is one of the
it's
basic
legal babble
standards for determining constitutionality of law, and has been a basic standard of determining the constitutional law since one of the first Supreme Court decisions.
It's
not babble.
It's
it is
babble.
Solid
it's
law.
The same level as all stories that start out once upon a time.
Well,
it's simply there and it doesn't mean anything.
Then you're saying that Supreme Court decision is simply there and doesn't mean anything, because many constitutional rights questions are decided on the basis of, is it overly broad? Is it overly vague? Is the law written in a way so as to be properly construed, or is it written in a way that any authority can interpret it any way they want?
Wanton, I'm a lawyer. I understand overbroad and vague. It's babble. It doesn't mean anything in and of itself.
Well, if you're a lawyer,
it's a simple,
you're obviously not too involved in studying constitutional law.
I'm not too involved in talking about overbroad and vague, I'll grant you that. But overbroad and vague doesn't say anything. It says, I have constitutional rights. That doesn't mean anything in and of itself. The statement overbroad and vague is a perfect example of vague.
Well, you're right. Overbroad and vague is overly broad and vague of a statement. But
in any event, let me give the call letters here. This is KHTX. The program is Chewing the Fat. The phone number, if you're interested in getting in on this, is 722-2299. And you can take your chances with Wanton, George, or Joe. Although we haven't heard from Joe yet. Let's hear from George for a moment, Wanton. He's got something to say here. Or Joe, or somebody who's got some notes ready to go.
Well, actually, I was taking notes on what's going on and didn't have any prepared notes. I don't think the main issue with the town clock really was not the sleeping issue, although some camping tickets were issued. The main charge that Wanton Dave here has pending is actually public nuisance, and I don't know if he'd like to speak about that.
I have a feeling you'd like to speak about anything.
Well, that's actually, the vagueness of that law has actually been the subject of some controversy in Santa Cruz.
Public nuisance law?
Yes. Also, maybe Dave can talk about that a little bit.
All right, Dave, tell us about the public. All right, wait a minute. Let me give the phone number again. The phone number here is 722-2299. The program is Chewing the Fat, and if you want to talk to somebody about nuisances or police abuse or whatever, give us a ring.
Well,
go ahead.
I want to talk about police abuse itself, because we've been letting ourselves be let off of a very central question, and to these questions of camping and other things like that. Because the peace vigil wasn't started by homeless people. I didn't start the peace vigil. I came to the peace vigil because hundreds of high school students of Santa Cruz brought me to the peace vigil and told me about it.
But at what point do you want
to
make?
To be there. Well, the point that I want to make is that the citizens of Santa Cruz started the peace vigil in their hundreds, and they were there in their dozens constantly until police abuse drove them away. And the only people that would stay were the people that said, no, I will not be driven away. I know better than to be driven away.
I was down by the town clock on a number of occasions.
Driven away, we became characterized.
I was down the town clock on a number of occasions and never saw hundreds of people assembled there. First of all, who were harassed by the police and driven off?
We had a lot of people at the vigil, and a lot of them were people that lived in Santa Cruz. A lot of them were restaurant owners that used to come by and give us food. Students at the various universities around, but some of the harassment, the forms of harassment that we endured there, that the people that stayed there night and day, The police came by on several occasions, and they took property of ours without ever issuing any citation or any warrants or giving any receipts for the property they seized, although people there at the clock did claim the property. We were prevented from taking the property into our possession, and the police took it.
You guys want to talk on the phone?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on KHTX. Go ahead. Hello? Speak to us. Hello? Okay. Bye. Don't worry. We play this game every week about getting the phones to work. Maybe we can try it again. Let's see. No. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to say I saw hundreds of people at the peace vigil at Town Clock early days of the war. I was there. And furthermore, I think it's up to the people there to decide what they're up to. If they say they want world peace and that's what they're there for, fine. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think anybody can really question that. I think that's their right to say that. And I think it's ridiculous to...
Are they saying it when they're asleep?
Some of them, maybe.
John Lennon did a good job of that.
Yeah. He sure did. I mean, but just by their presence there, they have a right to peaceful assembly.
Well, I don't think anybody argues that there's a right to peaceful assembly. The question is, where do you peacefully assemble and for how long?
Well, anywhere and for as long as you want. That's
your front
what a right
room?
Is.
Your front room?
Sure.
Are you saying that a peaceful assembly can take place in your front room and that you have no say about it at all?
Well, I would have say, of course, because it's my front room. But in the public...
Well,
the Constitution guarantees it.
The Constitution does not guarantee anybody going any place they want, wherever they want.
Well,
for example, you can't have a right to freedom of speech on a bus where you bring on a PA system, because people have a right concurrently not to be invaded by people with PA systems. So there are limitations on these things you're calling rights.
But tell me, caller. You've seen the town clock. You've seen that it is architecturally an assembly area. You've been by there. You know we never use PAs. The town clock itself has a plaque on it dedicating it to freedom. It is a natural and architectural First Amendment assembly area. We're not talking about all these extremes that our hostess keep bringing up, are we? We're talking about a very central, obvious First Amendment assembly area.
Wouldn't you say that, caller? It's not a front room. It's an obvious assembly area. And the Constitution guarantees free assembly. And this right has been abused to no end. I got arrested in free assembly, and it was fully peaceful.
Where?
I'm sorry?
Where?
Happened to be in a street on campus.
And you'd been ordered, what, to leave that area?
Uh-huh.
And didn't?
That's correct.
So they called it an unlawful assembly?
That's correct.
And you went to court?
Mm-hmm.
And what, tried the case?
Well, I happened to plea bargain it out because of my circumstances. But the point is, the Constitution says that you have the right to peaceful assembly. And nowhere does it say that it has to be lawful. And it's a legal document. I don't think they just forgot to put that in.
What do you mean it doesn't have to be lawful?
Actually, the Constitution says there'll be no law made against it.
The Constitution says nothing of that kind.
It says Congress shall make no law abridging the right.
That's right.
Congress shall make no law allowing a peaceable assembly. And when you commit an unlawful act, you are by definition not peaceable.
No, that's not true.
That's the legal definition.
Peace is nonviolence.
I'm sorry, but that's the legal definition.
Then the legal definition is unconstitutional.
I have a feeling that what's unconstitutional in your view is anything that doesn't agree with your view.
So you have the right to peaceful assembly until they make a law against it.
Definitely illegal, but it's
you have a right to peaceably assemble until you are an unlawful assembly. Presumably at the university you were blocking a street, which you're not allowed to do, which is what we started this conversation with, which is that you can regulate the manner in which people demonstrate. Obviously, that's why I bring up the example that you can't demonstrate in people's homes, and you can't put PA systems on buses, and you can't yell fire in crowded theaters, and all the rest of it. It simply makes sense. You can't let people do anything they want whenever they want.
But we're not trying to do your examples, are we?
Doesn't it seem that they could just legislate, acts of speech just into total impotence? And isn't that a danger? Isn't that something we should consider?
Yes, it is. The peace vigil at the town clock offered nobody any harm. It did not impede anybody's use of the area. And these things are things that need to be addressed. They tried to say that we did. They issued tickets for blocking the sidewalk and other such things. Now, if these were true, I could almost understand the harassment that went on at the clock. But they weren't true. This is a little tiny area of the town. It does not impede any businesses. It does not block usage from the town clock itself, which, I mean, to use the clock, you have to stand a block away from it and look at it anyway. They don't turn on the fountain.
if it's running right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, some of the charges that they said about us. They issued tickets out there for minor of possession, tobacco, conduct on public property. One of our popular favorites was having a sign more than 14 inches in size. And these kind of charges that they leveled against the people at the clock, the only reason they did this is because of the past history of the town clock and the visibility of it to the business community and the people entering the business community.
Caller, can I let you go, or do you want to make another comment here?
I'll go.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Chewing the Fat at 722-2299. Well, you have a supposedly progressive city council in the city of Santa Cruz. Why don't you get yourself down there and say, hey, look, let's pass a few laws here, one of which is that we can assemble in the middle of the night at the town clock.
We've talked to them several times, and I think that they are the only people that consider themselves progressive.
No, there are others, but hi, this is Chewing the Fat. How are you?
Jim.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys are coming across about this town clock.
I haven't heard from you for a while. Where you been?
Hey, man, I've been here. I'm still promoting anarchy at its finest.
Okay, thank
unstructured,
you.
Of course. A homeboy.
Unstructured anarchy as opposed to structured anarchy?
That's right. That's right. Third generation Santa Cruzan, and I'll tell you what, I'm a paycheck away from being homeless myself. And if that paycheck goes away, I'm going down on the beach. To hell with these people. You know, you guys don't know how to live. I know how to eat out of the ocean, fish. You know, I can do all that stuff. And I'm willing to take on the city and the county to the point where I've got enough friends to back me up to raise, you know, quite a stink. Because I'm telling you guys talk about peace and peace vigils. I don't know how old you guys are or if you've ever done any military duty, but I'll tell you one thing. Peace is just a figment of your imagination, and reality is violence. And the only way you deal with these cops and lawyers and judges, and I'm sorry about that, Jim, but judges are lawyers for the most part, you know, and lawyers are liars as far as I'm concerned. The more you pay them, the more they'll lie. And, you know, you guys can spend all your time wasting paperwork in court and things like that, but when it gets down to it, we'll put on the football helmets and the shoulder pads and the baseball clubs, and we'll go hand to hand with these police people out here. You heard me tell Terry Medina that day. You know he was on your show. I got no respect for these people that are shutting down our beaches. We used to sleep on the beach, kids. Growing up in the 50s and the 60s, we used to sleep on the beaches, build bonfires on the beaches. Now they got no drinking, no dogs, all this stuff. That town clock where you guys are fighting over.
The signs sometimes are big enough to obliterate the view of the surf.
That's right. And they've got stupid stairs going down to the surf now to protect people.
And real pretty lights.
No, so that's so they can put a kiosk at the bottom and collect.
Well, the town clock? That's not the original place where it was at, is it, Jim?
No, it isn't. It is not. It was on top of the. It was on top of some building.
Oddfellow.
The Oddfellows building.
That's right. Right above the town clock pool hall, which was the roughest place in Santa Cruz. And I'll tell you what, there's plenty of guys that are still around. They're in their 30s, 40s. That are just a little fed up with all this BS of wasting money on whether people can sleep or not.
Hey, let me ask you a question, bro. Let me ask you a question. You know, like earlier,
you're displaying a pretty hostile attitude towards police and lawyers and judges, you know.
Well, I'm sick of the whole damn bunch.
Yeah, I'm not trying to criticize. I just want to ask you a question. And basically the question is, do you have this hostile attitude because of the way they treat you or because you're just hostile to begin with?
I got this hostile attitude not only against local government, but against this United States government. See, no, I don't want to change the Constitution. I want to abolish it. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say you can change it, but everywhere in there does it say you can abolish it. You see?
Oh, I was just wondering if you were so hostile because of the way that they treated you in the first place.
Yeah, I'm hostile because I've never owned a house, never lived in a house since I came back from Vietnam. I never got spit on, never been called a baby killer. And I come back here, and people from other places have come in here and bought their way in. And they're telling me what to do? To hell with them people. They put me in jail, I'll get them guys organized. You know, we'll have a good time.
Tell me, have you ever been stopped by the city authorities for an organized political activity?
I dare them to stop me. I've never had a ticket yet. I dare cops to stop me. That's the kind of person I am.
Let me get you back to you next week, huh?
All right, Jim.
Say goodbye. Talk to you later. This is Chewing the Fat at 722-2299. All right. Now, are you persuaded to be anarchists or are you just scofflaws?
Well, you know, I think that it doesn't matter if you're believing the concept of government or not. The word anarchist means no government. All right? And the way the government in this country disregards the law, and the way that the rich people in this country disregard the law, and the way that the middle class people have no choice but to break the law, and the way the poor also have no choice but to break the law, I think we really do live in an anarchy. It's just that it's a dictatorial anarchy where certain people, the rich and the authority figures, have the ability to be...
Well, the middle class and the poor.
On top of the poor.
You've got the middle class and the poor committing anarchy as well, I suppose, here, huh?
No, how can you help it? How you tell them, like, look at it this way. Every time I ever asked a lawyer and he gave an answer, he told me, don't look for justice in the courts. Every time I ask anybody, is it possible for you to live your entire life without breaking any laws, they laugh.
Well,
everybody
look
breaks
it.
Some law.
Look, you're here coming on with the constitutional babble about the First Amendment and all the rest of it, which means that you're seeking protection in the very thing you're denigrating here, which are
no,
the laws.
No, I'm not.
Were it not for the Constitution and the provisions that you can do the kind of speaking you want, you may very well be the victim of Tiananmen Square-type conduct. So you can't very well sit here and say, gee whiz, the laws are collapsing around me, and I want to avail myself of this particular law.
Tiananmen Square started out with the cops coming by and hustling people on and taking their property.
I got it. I understand.
Telling them to leave, and that's exactly what happened at the clock.
Well, not quite.
Yeah, you know, that's too exactly what happened at the clock.
Not
the cops
quite.
Came by and took people's property and told them to, they hassled them and told them to move on.
The difference is in Tiananmen
moving.
Square, they took people's lives.
Well, yeah, that's right. And Santa Cruz, instead of proceeding on to shooting up people with machine guns and tanks, what they did was they proceeded to throw people in jail. They beat people up.
You're hobgoblinizing.
If you get a ticket,
I don't care if you get if you get a ticket, it's significantly different than catching yourself
I have a scar on my hand from where a cop beat me up. I've watched cops beat people up at the clock.
It does not avail you.
Being beaten up by cops is definitely violent.
Wanton, it does not help your position to compare the town clock in the city of Santa Cruz with Tiananmen Square.
Well, I'm trying to point out the difference, but you keep interrupting. Now, instead of proceeding from that ticketing, hassling, and violence upon people's bodies...
Let's hear from George here. He's got a...
They then threw people in jail and told them, if you don't stop this, you will remain in jail. Whereas in Tiananmen Square, they didn't have big enough jails for all the people there, so they just shot them.
Well,
and that's the difference. Here we only had a few, and they said you can sit in jail or you can stop it. In Tiananmen Square, they said, we ain't got the space to put you in jail, so you can either stop it or we'll kill you.
All right. A little revisionist history there, but that's all right. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, there was a couple different things that happened at the town clock with, you know, sort of what Wonton was talking about, with violence. They were very antagonistic and very forceful with several people. We had one person out there who had chronic back problems, and he was there expressing his dissent for the war with you know, the United States, what the United States was doing and their policies. He let the police know that he was out there and he was a potential target for being arrested at the town clock. What they basically did then was ignore his warnings about his back, and they manhandled him, pounced on him, and further aggravated a serious injury.
Well, pounced on him at what point in time, and what was he doing?
He was attempting, I believe, to possibly start an organic garden at the town clock, which they jumped on him.
You mean he was digging?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he was having someone dig for him.
Well, all right. So he was digging in a public park, which presumably is not lawful.
Well, I mean,
and
again,
I suppose are we in agreement that public parks are not places that anybody can dig in at any time they want to?
Are organic farmers violent people that need to be thrown?
As far as I'm concerned, organic food is a shuck and a jive.
Look,
I mean, I don't care if it's organic or not organic. It would probably be worse, I suppose, if he hauled in 2 tons of fertilizer. But on the other hand, I don't know that it's unreasonable to say that people can't dig in public gardens without the requisite permits.
Look,
I mean, for heaven's sakes, if you build a house around here now, you have a planning commission that stands around and tells you can have petunias and not daisies. So.
You're missing the point now. The point is the guy got beat up. The point is the fact that the police use tactics to deal with such trivial things in a way that they are very violent, and they don't have to answer for their...
Well, what happened? I wasn't there, but what happens if the guy's digging and they come along and say, stop digging, and he says, stuff it, I ain't going to stop digging.
He did stop digging, though. They came along.
And then what do they want to do, give him a ticket?
They told the person he had digging to stop digging in the...